Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm Pat Sloan, and on this amazing Monday, we are going to be talking to a lot of fun quilters. First up, I have Maureen Cracknell, who has been with me before, and she is just into all kinds of interesting things. When I saw some of the projects she was doing at the show recently, I was like, oh my gosh, you got to come and talk about this. So we're going to talk about stitching and free motioning and her fabric lines. Thank you for being here, Maureen.
Hi, Pat. Thanks for having me on.
You know, I just love everything you do. You are so creative. You're just... Does your brain ever stop or?
No. It really doesn't.
That's what I hear a lot. It's like it just goes. I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about your fabric line, Wild and Free, because that's what's it's in the stores now, right?
Yep, it's in stores. It's shipped late November, early December. It's a limited edition fabric collection with art gallery fabrics. Mm-hmm. It's something they've done the last few quilt market seasons, and Pat Bravo had invited me to be a limited edition designer pretty early on with her concept, and mm-hmm. I decided to go for it and was able to debut my collection at this past fall quilt market called Wild and Free, which was the best personal creative experience of my entire life. It was amazing going to Quilt Market for the first time and having a booth and getting to meet people like you and everybody that I admire so much in the industry. And it's a small collection of 8 prints and then 1 voile and 2 knits. And it was completely inspired by the area that I live in Pennsylvania called Potter County. Ah. It's just a fun collection, real bohemian. You know, just really true to who I am. A lot of it, you know, is a good... A lot of people said it looks like me because it's just, you know, represents me and my life and, you know, my family here.
You know, that's the biggest compliment, isn't it? When people look at your work, whether it's your quilts or your paintings or whatever, and say, you know, it really looks like you. You succeeded. Yay!
Yeah, it felt really good because, that process of taking, you know, your sketches and bringing them to life on fabric, I mean, I learned so much. I still have so much to learn. But, you know, you do have to compromise along the way because, you know, you're learning. It's like another language, learning mm-hmm. Illustrator and the programs mm-hmm. that make it possible. And so, you know, I think I looked at it and spent so much time on it that by the time it was done, I mean, it's... I think as creatives, we're our worst critics. We're always second-guessing ourselves. But to have the end result be people telling me how much it looked like me, I was like, okay, good.
Yes, you know, yes. So that,
I mean, it kind of was a weight lifted, took the pressure off when, you know, people responded to it so well. And now with, you know, Instagram and Facebook, I'm seeing people using it. And that's mm-hmm. a whole nother level of just, oh, my gosh, you know, seeing people create with your fabrics is just an amazing experience.
It's thrilling to see because they think of things that you would have never thought of in combinations and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Now, do you have an art background? I can't remember, Maureen.
No, I'm completely self-taught with everything. And I've been sewing I just hit my 5-year anniversary early this month. So, I mean, it still feels a little bit new, but mm-hmm. I think because I wasn't taught to do anything a certain way, you know, like you mentioned the thread mm-hmm. sketching, you and I've talked about that a few times. Mm-hmm. I think I just feel a little bit more free to experiment with things like that because I don't feel like there's any right or wrong way to do anything, you know?
What I really like is your designs. I mean, I love your designs from the quilts to your fabrics, everything. I like the sort of the motion of it, if that's the right way to phrase it. You know, you always, your pieces move, they're fluid, they're very natural. Tell me a little bit, explain to me the thread sketching, or what do you exactly call it?
I started calling it sketch stitching. Mm-hmm. Early on, or maybe even stitch sketching. I think I flipped that a couple different times. You know, I didn't know what to call it. Mm-hmm. I know people do things called thread painting, but I wasn't mm-hmm. even aware that people were doing that when I started mm-hmm. Doing these little, you know, sketch stitches. And now other people are using that term for different things. So it's hard. It's hard to come up with a name, you know, for something, you know, unique. But for me, it was just a way for me to incorporate this new love I had for sewing and quilting with my past love of drawing, which is all I ever wanted to do was be an illustrator. Mm-hmm. So it was just a fun way for me to combine everything I was really passionate about creatively. And I actually just had a call with one of the Janome education supervisors, and I'm going to mm-hmm. be working on a large quilt to showcase how you can use free motion quilting and decorative stitches mm-hmm. In this creative way to build a project using both my Quilt As You Go technique that I've shared on Janome's website and mm-hmm. on my own blog with these thread sketches. And I'm going to start that hopefully within the next week, and I'll be sharing the process more tips. I think a lot of people want to do this.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to explain it because you really do have to have a drawing, a strength with,
right.
you know, drawing in order to draw with a sewing machine. But
right,
I
right.
think those are, you know, as I kind of have thought about it and simplified it, I think I've found ways to maybe share on my blog more of how other people can do it who maybe don't have that much of a drawing strength but have access to a machine that has all these beautiful decorative stitches.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, that's a very good way to think about it, because, you know, you can, your natural drawing abilities aren't really something, you know, people can necessarily copy unless you give them a pattern. And so the way that you think, it's all sort of free flowing. So like, I'll describe it, because you have this beautiful feather, and within the feather are details. They're not necessarily shading. It's just you're sketching within parts of the feather. And then all of this is done through three layers. Are you taking all the way through three layers?
No, it's just two layers.
Okay.
You know, the most important thing whenever you're going to do free motion quilting or, you know, this sort of decorative stitching, you have to have a stabilizer. You can't just put fabric underneath the sewing machine and expect it not to pucker and everything when you're moving it around. And I like to use either batting scraps, or you can buy fusible fleece, you know, something that you're going to baste or iron to the back of your fabric that's going to add that thickness to the fabric that you need to be able to move it
mm-hmm.
Underneath the machine. If you wanted to do a mini quilt, by all means, you would have your quilt backing
mm-hmm.
on there as well. But for me, I've always finished this kind of work as pillows.
Okay.
You know, that's what I did for Quilt Market. But, you know, it's easier to finish a project like this as a pillow when you're under a time crunch, which I always tend to be, like, with everything that I do. But that's why I'm so excited and wanted to share about this, you know, quilt that I'm going to be creating for Janome, because I'm going to be sharing, you know, the process of making it, how I'm going to be attaching the blocks that I've made using mm-hmm. the thread sketching and create a full quilt.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to send that quilt to them, and they're going to use it in the courses that they offer to teach people who sell their machines. So I'm really excited about the opportunity, and I'm excited to have a reason to slow down and share more of this kind of work, because people do want to see it. I mean, there's so many people I've met who are like, if I were you, that's all I do. I wouldn't do any of this other stuff you're doing. But I have to be in the mood, you know, when it comes to anything, you know, and especially, like,
right.
we're quilters. We love patchwork. We love, you know, anything that involves sewing. So, you know, you just get inspired at different times to do different things. And I feel like I'm finally have a reason to kind of create this big thing. And I love a reason to quilt. I love somebody to quilt for, or, you know,
yeah.
a specific.
So, I think a reason really helps sometimes. It gives you that focus, doesn't it? That, you know, now you have a purpose for what you're doing.
Absolutely. Last year I made a quilt for each of my children and nieces and nephews. And that really pushed me creatively because I wanted to make something for each of them that, you know, represented them. Mm-hmm. And it is the best. It's the best to sort of just decide, okay, who are you going to make this for? Because not only, you know, are you making it in a style that you know they'll appreciate, and so that might, you know, push you creatively, but also like so much thought and love goes into an item that you know you're making to give to somebody that you love. So
right.
It was easier for me last year to put out so many quilts than it has been this year because I'm just making them, you know, for. Just to have, because I did end up giving all the quilts away. That's the only thing is at the end of the year, you don't have anything because you've given everything away. And I need to build a collection to have to share.
And you had all the things you also had to do for your fabric line. So you were very, very busy with all those projects. That's a lot of projects, Maureen.
Yeah, but you know how we are. I mean, do we ever stop making stuff and create?
No, we don't. Now, I want to tell them your website because you're going to be doing this fantastic sort of, you know, showing and sharing of the quilt that you're going to make. So you can see Maureen at Maureen Cracknell, which is two L's, handmade.blogspot.com. So that, and Maureen has all kinds of fun things that she does over there. Are you going to be starting this like in April?
Yeah, definitely by April. I want to have it done by July, but I want to take my time with it. So
right.
I think each week I'll work on it and share how it's coming together at least once a week.
Mm-hmm. That sounds
But there's always
fantastic.
Other stuff going on. I have so many quilts going on right now.
Yes. Yeah, tons. You always have tons. And also Maureen is on Facebook, so if you're over there a lot, you can join her page and see all the things there if that's easier. But Maureen, this has been so much fun to hear about your fabric and learn about this new project you're doing. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Pat.
Well, we are going to take a little break. And when we come back, I have another guest. Which we're going to talk a little bit about paper piecing and some other fun things. So we are going to be back in a few minutes with American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Like American Patchwork and Quilting on Facebook for daily quilting inspiration, tips, and giveaways. Find us at facebook.com/APQ Magazine. See our editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on videos.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ Magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Ever since I started quilting online, as I say, you know, looking online for quilts, I have always gone to Flickr because Flickr was one of the very first places that quilters could share their work. You know, there's many places now, but in the beginning, that was one of the very, very few places. And so I still go there for inspiration, and a lot of quilters are still sharing the work there. And so when I was going through some photos, I stumbled upon Joan Lucchese's work, and it was just so cool. So I wrote Joan and asked her a little bit about her work and if she'd like to come on here and talk to me about it. And she did. Yay. I'm so excited. Hi, Joan. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Pat. Thank you for the invitation. I'm so excited to be here.
You know, do you love Flickr like immensely still, even though there's other places?
I do. It is such a great site for sharing work and for inspiration, and it's a wonderful community of people.
That's the whole thing. That was the start. I mean, you could get community there in the discussion areas, and now, of course, there's a lot of other places to do that, but there's still really active Flickr groups for quilters.
There are.
When did you start making quilts, Joan?
I started making quilts when I was fairly young. My first quilt was the result of leftover fabric from clothing construction. Mm-hmm. My mother is a terrific seamstress, and she taught me a number of needle art skills when I was young, including how to use her sewing machine. So my favorite part of sewing was visiting the local fabric shop and choosing the fabrics for my projects. Mm-hmm. That is still one of my favorite things to do is
Yay.
To shop for fabric. Yep. I could spend hours there. So I had a large box filled with scraps from my sewing projects, and my mom showed me how to cut the scraps into 6-inch squares mm-hmm. and then to sew them together to make a quilt top. And then we tied the quilt layers together with yarn. So it was more of a utility quilt than it was, a beautiful quilt, but it was beautiful to me because mm-hmm. each piece in it represented something that I had made for myself. So it was really special in that way. And I used it for many years until it was stolen during a home robbery when I was in my late 20s.
Oh.
And it was the only thing they took that really upset me.
Yeah.
So a few years after that, I decided that I needed to replace that quilt. And I took a beginning quilt class from two local quilters, Laura Nouns and Diana McClun.
Oh,
they
yes.
had just written their first book, Quilts, 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 and they were just starting on their road as authors and teachers. And they taught this class that was so comprehensive. It was wonderful because it taught me a wide variety of techniques, and that gave me the confidence to move on to more and more mm-hmm. complex quilting. And from that point on, I was hooked.
You know, you have a great website, CaliQuilter.com, C-A-L-I, so people can go check that out. One of the things that I was looking at with your work, you work in a couple of different styles, like so many of us, but I thought we could talk a little bit about paper piecing because I really like the patterns that you've come up with, the designs that you use, and you told me that, like you shared with me that gorgeous starburst that I have on my site. And that was your first paper piecing project?
I taught myself to paper piece with that quilt. yeah, I know.
It's very complex.
What was I thinking? Well, it looks complex. It is actually made with kaleidoscope blocks that were designed by Andrea Bishop at EQ Software.
Mm-hmm.
And the blocks are made but not sewn together, and then they're exploded apart. So it creates a kaleidoscope effect, which I thought was very cool.
Yeah.
And I was trying to teach myself to make these kaleidoscope blocks because I was just so intrigued by them. Mm-hmm. So I decided that I needed to learn how to paper piece because they are a complex block and they need to be fairly precise. So I just sat down and decided I was going to teach myself to do this, and I was going to use those blocks to do it. So it took me a while to learn that technique. For anyone who wants to try to learn to paper piece, I would encourage them to be patient with themselves. There are some tricks to it. But once you learn how to do it, it is just an amazing technique, and you can accomplish such beautiful work with it. So when I was finished making this quilt, I sent a picture of it to Andrea and Penny at EQ, and they borrowed it from me to hang in their booth in Houston. And then they also used it in their schoolhouse presentation on how to make these kaleidoscope blocks. And I was just, I was so honored.
That is wonderful.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, that is so wonderful. That, you know, you made something that got shared at so many places.
It was just amazing to me. I was very, very proud. I certainly didn't expect that. And then because I love this technique so much, I was really starting to pay attention to how other people paper piece. And I learned about using freezer paper as a paper piecing foundation, and it completely revolutionized this technique for me. It's fast and accurate, and when you're finished, you don't have to peel the paper off of the back of the block, which is my least favorite part. It's tedious and time-consuming, and it's with the freezer paper technique, you don't have to do that.
Now, do you have, because a lot of people may not realize how the freezer paper works, can you give a little, either a tip or something you've learned to make that easier?
Yes, I'm actually going to be posting a step-by-step photo tutorial for this technique on my blog this week for your listeners.
Okay.
So I will explain this, but because pictures are so effective, they can see how this works too. But basically what it is the freezer paper, and you can buy it in 8.5 by 11 inch pieces, which is really handy. You can run it right through your printer at home. And it prints the foundation pattern right on the dull side of the freezer paper. And one benefit of this is the fabric will stick to the shiny portion of the freezer paper when you press it with an iron, which is helpful because you don't have to hold the paper on the fabric onto the paper while you're working with it. And then in this technique, instead of stitching through the paper, you adhere the fabric to the foundation with the iron, and you add the next fabric patch on top of that, flip it over, and then you fold the pattern back precisely along the stitching line and stitch exactly next to the fold in the paper. And you continue this process for each seam in the unit. And then when all of the seams have been stitched, you simply peel off the freezer paper, and you can use it over again for the next unit. So it saves an enormous amount of time and paper.
Yeah, I've seen it done. I've seen it demoed, Joan, but I haven't actually tried it myself. It's one of those things I have to, like, give myself, like, a little assignment sometime, right? You know, it's like you have to really concentrate and sit down and go, okay, I'm going to go through this. I'm going to watch your step outs. I think it'll be really cool.
Well, if you have ever paper pieced with paper and you've had to peel it off, this technique is just so wonderful because it's fast and it completely eliminates that step. So it's really worth learning how to do it if you want a paper piece.
Yeah, I am going to be watching that. That is for sure. Now let's change gears a little bit because you have, you do a lot of different things. One of them you told me, which I think is just pretty darn neat, is that you work with Answers.com, which is an online site, as their expert quilter, to help people. What is that all about?
For the last 2 years, I've been writing about quilting for Answers.com. They're a wiki answers type site, and they had been receiving a large volume of questions related to quilting. And I think this speaks to the number of people who are on the internet and trying to find information and trying to teach themselves how to do this craft. So they were feeling that they needed to increase the content related to quilting. So they asked me if I would write content for them and answer specific quilting-related questions, which turned out to be a really interesting project. I had to do a fair amount of research to answer some of the questions because some of them were really esoteric.
Yeah.
The most frequently asked question was what size to make a quilt to fit a standard mattress size. But I have written about everything from Aboriginal quilts to how to choose the right size thimble.
Oh, well. So how do you choose the right size thimble?
Well, it depends on what you're going to use it for. And I was just, when I actually researched the answer to this question, I was stunned at how many different thimbles there are made out of such a variety of materials, leather and metal and plastic. And it just depends what you are using it for, what kind of needle you're trying to push, what you're trying to push the needle through. There is a thimble for every purpose, believe it or not.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, now I'm going to have to go out there and read some of your articles. This is so cool. Now, tell me, I have about 10 seconds. Tell me, you write a blog?
I do, on my website.
All right, so people can go to CallieQuilter.com and see what Joan is all about and visit her Flickr page. And you have a link there as well?
Yes, it's CallieQuilter.
Okay. All right. Joan, this has been so much fun. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you for the invitation, Pat. It's been fun.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. And when we come back, Suzanne Marshall is going to spend the second half of the show with me talking about her award-winning appliqué.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration. This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. Set yourself up to stitch a little every day. When you finish stitching, before putting everything away, rethread your needle and take the first stitch. Then the next time you pull out your project, you'll be ready to sit down and start stitching.
Hi, I'm Linda Augsburg. Join me in 2015 for a brand new video series called Show Me How, brought to you by Baby Lock. Each month, I'll show you how to complete a simple project from start to finish. Learn new techniques, see tips, and sew a great project. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/videos to watch.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and this show is brought to you by Moda Fabrics. And you can visit them at modafabrics.com or the Moda Bake Shop, where there's all kinds of fun things going on. Early on, when I fell in love with applique, I wanted to see everything I could about applique, all the people that applique. I would go to the shows and look at the quilts that were displayed, the magazines that came out. I wanted to see, what people were doing. And I fell in love with Suzanne Marshall's work. Her work is incredibly beautiful. It has won many awards. She's written books on her work. But the exciting part for me is that there's always something really personal and interesting and different within the pieces that Suzanne does. And I am really excited. We're going to spend some time with Suzanne. Thanks for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. Nice to talk to you.
You know, Suzanne, when did you actually start making quilts? Did you start young or did that come later?
Well,
life?
I started when we had four children and they needed covers on their beds.
Oh.
And so in about 1976, our daughter was in kindergarten and she really needed a cover. So I went to the public library, checked out a book on quilting and started making quilts. And I found that I enjoyed it. I started out with patchwork, using just scraps of fabrics that I had. And then as time went by, I got interested in applique.
Oh. Now, did you have any quilt makers in your family, any family quilts?
No, not really. I think my mother had one from maybe perhaps a wedding present, and I admired it, but she did not make quilts, and I didn't know anyone who did.
I love that you went to make a cover. That sounds, you know, it's like...
Well, they needed to keep warm.
That's right. So you weren't going to make a quilt. You just needed to make them a blanket. That's right.
Well, no, I was making a quilt. Yeah. It was patchwork.
Patchwork. So this was a period of time when quilt making was actually getting popular again at that, you know, that time frame. So did you find that there were magazines out there then? Once you enjoyed making the first ones, did you start searching around?
I really did. I went to the library and checked out books about quilting. And I think at that time there was a magazine called Ladies Circle Patchwork Quilt.
Mm.
And I bought that magazine and just looked at all the pictures and tried to imagine making some of those quilts, most of which were a little complicated for me at that time.
Did you... Can you remember, like, the fabrics that were available? I always feel like
they really were not very exciting. You know, they were calicos, but they were multicolored calicos.
Yeah.
At that time. But, you know, again, I was using scraps of cloth that I got from neighbors or that, you know, I used to make skirts and aprons and things like that and even little dresses for our daughter. Mm-hmm. And I'd use the scraps from those homemade clothes.
Ah, so do you have any of those first pieces? Did any survive?
I do. I do.
Oh, good.
They're not in great shape, and I look at the quilting on them, and I think, oh, my goodness. But that's okay. It's where I started.
Did you hand quilt them?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Yes, so, and I think I read a book that said you did not have to have a frame or a hoop, and I'm not sure what book that was, but that kind of gave me permission to never use a frame or a hoop.
Oh, you know, we're going to talk about that in a minute because you are quite famous for that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. When you started, you know, sort of getting into this, did you ever think to yourself, oh, okay, did you plan to enter your quilts in a show? Did you sort of go to a show and think, oh my, okay, I need to do this? Or how did that happen?
You know, our local quilt guild had a judged and juried show that hung in the public library. And I was really interested in the quilts that hung there. And I did enter that particular competition, which was, you know, very small.
Mm-hmm.
But I entered my first competition because I truly did want judges' comments. I wanted to know what I was doing wrong because I didn't have anybody teaching me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really know people who were quilting at that time. So, except for this guild, which I eventually joined. So, in fact, all three of my books tell the judges' comments, both bad and good. So,
I love
people
that
can look at
your...
a picture of the quilt, and then they can see what the judges liked and what they didn't like.
Yeah, I love that about your books. I mean,
oh,
it's...
good, thanks.
Yeah. I think you adding in the judges' comments for the pieces is just it's just like the cherry on top. It's like everybody can look and see how the process actually works.
Well, the other thing they can see is that judges don't necessarily agree with each other.
Right.
You know, one judge will like the color and the next one won't. Or one judge says the stitches are fabulous, and the next one says, you know, these stitches need to improve. So you really do see that they don't agree with one another.
When you had the first, you know, local show that you entered and you got some feedback, how did that motivate you? I mean, did you right away think, oh my gosh, I'm going to go change this and this, I'm going to enter a bigger show? Or
I think I'm getting mixed up myself. I think the first show I actually entered was Quilters Heritage Celebration in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Oh,
and that was a big national show.
Yes.
And I did really want the judges' comments, and I learned from them because at that time I was marking my quilting lines with a pencil, and it showed.
Ah.
And I learned not to do that. But it did win a prize, and that really spurred me on to get the quilt back and wash those pencil lines out and enter another show. And the next one I entered, I won Best of Show and $1,000. And then I thought, well, this is fun.
Yay.
Yay is right.
Oh, that's a big deal.
Well, it was exciting for me. It really was.
Yeah. Yeah. Can we talk a little bit about some of the designs? I mean, there's so much stuff that we're going to talk about, Suzanne, but I want to talk a bit about the quilt that I saw of yours in person, I think, that really made me think, oh, my gosh, I just love how you think, you as a person. And that's the one of your quilts with the bugs. You've done a few quilts with bugs, right?
I've done three quilts with bugs, yes. I've done bed bugs, Don't Bug Me, and Leaf Hoppers.
Yeah.
And then every now and then you'll find a bug on a quilt that's just not specifically about bugs. You know, the bed bugs was my first quilt, and it was made to look very traditional with green leaves and red berries. Mm-hmm. But then it just needed something else. And we had been to New Guinea, and we were very interested in the beetles there. So I bought a book about beetles when we were in New Guinea, and I thought, well, that's what this quilt needs. It needs bugs in the middle of those reeds. So that's how that evolved.
You know, are bugs in particular something like that your family is interested in, or you personally, or was that just a bit of whimsy that came to you?
Well, I'm interested in bugs. I think they're fascinating. I don't necessarily like them on me, but I think the colors in some of the bugs and the shapes, I just think they're fascinating. And it really was really funny. I watched a woman stand in front of bed bugs when it was on exhibit somewhere, and she said, well, I would not want to sleep under this. So not everybody likes bugs.
No, yeah, I bet that's really funny to stand there with some of your pieces that have such whimsical things in them, particularly early on, because I think you were doing this kind of work when it wasn't seen as much.
That's probably true. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, that's, I think, what really drew me was seeing something so totally different and fun. That's what
I
love.
Well, and another quilt I made was, I used images from trips and experiences that we had together as a family. Like we had a pet kinkajou before we had kids, and so I have a kinkajou on the quilt. And we went to St. Mark's Cathedral in Venice, and I adapted a couple of the birds that were on the mosaic floors. And, you know, we have hummingbirds in the backyard, and we have squirrels in the yard, you know. So I tried to put things on that would mean something to our family.
Yeah, and I think the personalization like that is – means so much in the long run to what.
Oh,
the,
I think so too. I really do. Yeah.
Now, what's a kinkatoo or whatever you call it?
A kinkajou is kin to the lesser panda and the caca missile and the Kodamundi. And it's a nocturnal animal.
Oh.
And we were very naughty to have one. We lived in New York City and it was for sale and we just fell in love with it and bought it. But it's not a good idea to buy a wild animal.
Oh, goodness.
So
now, I'm not as familiar.
We were very
with
naughty. We ended up giving it to the Staten Island Zoo, and they gave us a big lecture about how we shouldn't do that. So that was long ago.
Yeah, I was going to say that was long, long ago, right?
Long, long, even before quilts.
Aha, aha, aha. Well, you know, now you have that great memory of.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. How many quilts have you made? Do you know?
I have not a clue. I've never counted them. I really don't know.
Have you kept them all?
No, I've given them to our kids and to our grandkids and to a few friends whose children have had babies.
Mm-hmm.
Those baby quilts. I have to admit, as a hand quilter, I don't want to spend months on a baby quilt gift that I'm giving away. So I do machine quilt those, and I'm not much of a machine quilter. Mm-hmm. One of the funny things that recently happened was a friend of our son's came over because our son was visiting from California. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, my son still loves that quilt you gave him when he was a baby. And I said, you know, I'm not remembering what was on it. Could you remind me? He said, well, it has ramps with cars on it.
Oh.
And I thought, ramps with cars? I said, what's on the other side? He said, oh, just some geometric design.
Oh,
so I thought, why didn't I just buy two backs and put them together instead of make patchwork?
Oh, yes, just some geometrics on the other side.
Yeah, just some geometrics, you know, and that's one reason I machine quilt those baby quilts I give away, because people who don't know quilts don't understand the time involved.
No.
But anyway, now I just laugh at that. I think it's kind of funny.
That is. It's a great story. That's a great story. Tell me, this first talk before the break, we have about a minute or an and a half. Tell me the type of applique technique that you like to use.
Well, I use needle turn applique, and I designed a process that I named takeaway applique. It uses plain notebook paper for the templates, because I can use the lines on the notebook paper to match the grain line on the fabric, because my grain lines match between the applique pieces and the background. Mm-hmm. And I think that the piece has more integrity that way. Now, if it's a multi-piece pattern, I can cut one piece off of that notebook paper, put the notebook paper on the background where that flower, say, is going to go, and then where I have cut that one piece of the notebook paper out to use as a template, that fabric will fit in the exact place where the notebook paper piece is missing. And so everything lines up perfectly. It's like working a puzzle backwards.
Wow.
Is that making sense to you?
Yes, somewhat. Yes, somewhat.
Okay.
I have to think about it.
It's illustrated in my book.
Right. Yeah, your books have it all laid out, but that's kind of fascinating. You do a lot of symmetrical work, so that's pretty important.
In some cases, yes.
Yeah, right.
But not necessarily. I mean, you know, a flower can be all different shapes.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, with all the different parts and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I want to tell people before the break here real quick, you can visit Suzanne at suzannequilts.com. That's with a Z. And she has all of her books listed and a photo journal, you know, gallery. There's the word. Gallery
right.
of all of her quilts. Right. So, Suzanne, when we come back, I want to talk next about hand quilting.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about your latest book that you have out. So,
all right.
We'll do all that after the break. This is American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and we will be right back.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To maintain consistency when piecing, keep your eye on the spot where the needle enters the fabric, not the needle going up and down.
Hi, I'm Linda Augsburg, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making pillowcases and creating smiles. For people who love to sew or quilt, it's so easy to lift spirits and bring smiles to hospitalized kids, homeless families, and others in need. Simply join American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine's 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. Make one, two, or more pillowcases and donate them in your local community. You'll create just as many smiles. Join the movement today. Find complete details, download free patterns, and record your donations online at allpeoplequilt.com/million pillowcases.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm Pat Sloan talking to Suzanne Marshall. So, Suzanne, when you started to hand quilt in the very beginning, you read you didn't need a hoop, and so you're like, what, like they thought, well, what's a hoop? So I don't need one. I can just do this without, huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
So I based my quilts together real well first, and then I could just drag it around anywhere to work on it. and hold it in my lap, kind of pinch it from underneath. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I teach this class and people who have been rocking with a frame or a hoop, mm-hmm. some of those people have trouble not rocking, and mm-hmm. I ask them to take out a plain piece of fabric and just make a running stitch.
Right.
And they will see that they're almost lifting the fabric to their needle, and that's actually what I do when I hand mm-hmm. quilt. Mm-hmm. I lift the quilt to my needle so that the hand that's holding the needle is not, you know, it's applying pressure to get the needle through, but it's not the mm-hmm. hand that's moving. The hand underneath that is not applying pressure is the one mm-hmm. that's moving.
So you don't actually, do you actually poke your other hand with the needle
yes.
at all?
Okay. Yes, I do.
Yeah. Yes, so that you can feel where it is.
I can
to get...
feel the needle come through, right. Yeah. And then that finger that I've poked kind of lifts the fabric back onto the needle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What battings do you like to use for this?
I like polyester battings with loft because mm-hmm. I like the dimension that it gives quilts. I cut out behind my applique, and then if I quilt fairly close to the applique piece, that holds the background down, and that batting with loft comes up and fills the applique piece. And it looks, sometimes people ask me if I've stuffed it, and I haven't. Mm-hmm. It just gives it a dimension.
So you don't have any problem with the, I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, we have to use cotton batting. But it doesn't needle that well, a lot of that.
No, it's much harder to quilt through, I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I do
when
too.
I teach this class, I have about 20 different battings that I, you know, that I have sandwiched like mm-hmm. a quilt, little tiny pieces, mm-hmm. and have people run their needles through the battings to see which one they like the best. And they almost always like the polyester. Or there is a wool batting with loft that's also easy to needle.
Yes. What needles do you use, personally?
Oh, I like a size 10 quilting needle. And it, mm-hmm. you know, Bill and Jean Lyle used to handle these needles. They have retired now, so I don't know where. Mm-hmm. I'll have to search and find out where to get them. They're stainless steel from England, and they have an eye large enough to thread.
Ah, that's
which
important.
Which is really nice.
Yeah, the little tiny, most of the people hand quilt with very small needles, and so threading them is always mm-hmm. Challenge.
This
a challenge.
One does not, it's not hard to thread at all.
Oh, that's awesome. What about the actual thread? What, you know, you are so experienced at this. What do you like for thread?
For applique or for quilting?
Oh, for quilting, I'm sorry.
For quilting, okay. Well, there are a lot of, you know, hand quilting threads out there that are just mm-hmm. fine. But I also like the 12 and 30 weight sulky threads, and they mm-hmm. seem to be working just fine for me. And there are a lot more colors.
Right.
And sometimes those... I'm sorry, excuse me.
I was going to say, are they the heavier weight then, the thicker
yes,
threads?
Yes, the 30 weight is certainly heavier than the 50 weight.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 12 weight is heavier than, you know, both of those. And in some cases, I have quilted a design in a 12-weight thread and then next to it quilted with a 30-weight thread, and you can see the difference in the thicknesses of the thread. So you can mm-hmm. make a design stand out a little more that way.
Oh, that's a neat thing. So you're actually doing – will you actually do both weights on the quilt?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, for instance, let's say I was doing a crosshatch design. I might mm-hmm. use a 30 weight for that. And if I put a little star or some other little, you know, design within that crosshatching,
mm-hmm.
then I would quilt that in the 12 weight thread, and that would make that star stand out more.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. That makes sense. That is neat. Do you usually match the thread color to the fabric?
Not necessarily. I like to be able to see where I've been. So I like something that's in that color range, but mm-hmm. that is either a little bit darker or a little bit lighter so I can see it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have another question on still on the hand quilting, because I'm primarily a machine quilter myself. And so when I also applique, but when I have lots of layers, you know, it's easy to go through. You mentioned that you cut back behind because... Mm-hmm. It's harder to hand quilt through a couple layers of applique shapes, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So how far back will you go? Will you just get it as far back as you can to one layer?
Well, that's another complicated process that I do that's illustrated in my book.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can explain it. Let's pretend like I have a multi-piece pattern, mm-hmm. and I put the first part of a flower on, and I do the applique, and then the seam allowance that is not turned under,
mm-hmm.
I baste at the very, very edge of that seam allowance. I then cut out behind the applique piece. Then when I add the next piece on that covers up that raw edge seam allowance that mm-hmm. I've basted, I am sewing to applique and no background because it's been cut out.
Okay. All right.
And that's pretty well in my book.
Yeah. So let's talk about your latest book, because you have several books, and the latest is...
it's got a very long title.
Yeah.
Quilts is in big letters, and then it says, From Concept to Contest, Advice from a Hand Quilter.
That's right. It is a long title, Susan.
It is a long title. Probably Quilts from Concept to Contest would get it, but there are tips for hand quilters all the way through the book.
I think that is the neatest part, because a lot of people do love, you know, to hand quilt.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not everything, but, you know, it's wonderful to see it all laid out in your book. What is, besides the hand quilting part of this book, what is its other sort of content? Just describe it.
I have, there are pictures of quilts, and then I have given the judges comments mm-hmm. about them. My husband has made a few comments about them. I have talked about where I got the design ideas, what inspired me to make the quilts. And then there's a block on the front of the book, and there is a whole chapter illustrating how to do that block step by step.
Okay.
And that way you get the takeaway applique technique explained, as well as the cutting out behind technique, and the embroidery around the applique is also shown. Then I have a quilt called Vases that has different quilting patterns in every block. So there are, let's see how many blocks. I think it's 16 blocks. My husband gave me a math book, of all things, of tiling patterns.
Yeah.
And they are just fascinating. And so I have illustrated each block with the tiling pattern that I used for the quilting design in the book. So that if people want to use one of these tiling patterns, they're welcome to do that because they're illustrated.
And you can do such intricate things with the hand quilting.
You can.
Yeah, much, you know, these patterns, it is so neat to see the design below where you quilted it, you know, in a drawing, and just try to visualize doing that on a machine. No.
Well, I don't even know. I wouldn't know how to begin.
Yeah.
I'm not that good on the machine.
Yeah. That might be crazy. Oh, my gosh. So the quilts in here, what were they inspired by in this
particular
book?
Oh, well, let's see. And the one in the latest book, let's see. Mm-hmm. One was inspired by Kabuki Theater in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
One was inspired by William De Morgan tiles and pottery. And William De Morgan worked in the late 1800s, and we went to a museum in London, what's the name of it? Never mind, it'll come to me. But I saw some tiles, and I was so fascinated with them. You know, anybody who wants to see some of these wonderful tiles can look up William De Morgan
mm-hmm.
on the Internet, and they can be inspired to make a quilt. Then I've used designs from a 1565 manuscript that, you know, they're very, very weird characters.
Yes.
Let's see. I've got one adapted from some designs on pottery that I saw in Deruta, Italy.
It's amazing. I mean, the book.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, here's another one. We had my husband was a visiting professor in Italy, and I joined him for part of the time. And we visited museums and took pictures of Etruscan vases. Mm-hmm. And then when I got home, I used the images from the Etruscan vases for a quilt. So you can just get so many different ideas from all sorts of things. I have one quilt that is adapted from a design in front on the lamppost in front of the St. Louis Art Museum. And that lamppost was designed by Cass Gilbert, who also designed the art museum.
And the internet lets you take another peek at these things if you're inspired in person, right? Then you can go online.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's right.
Now, we have I just have a minute, but I want you to tell me about your quilt that was selected as one of the 100 best American quilts.
Oh, my goodness. I was so shocked when that happened. My husband has always loved Art Nouveau designs. And so I searched around for, some designs that I could use to make a quilt. I found a Dover book of copyright-free line drawings, mm-hmm. and I used some of the designs in that copyright-free book to make the four blocks, and then I designed borders around it and entered it in AQS, and it won Best Hand Workmanship, which was a real shock. And then what do I do? Do I give Garland's quilt to the museum? He says, well, what a deal. The museum got his quilt. I got $10,000, and he got to pay the taxes. But I was really shocked when that quilt won that award, both awards, the museum as well as the 20th century's 100
just amazing.
Best American quilt.
Yeah, just amazing. And people can see that on your website, right on your front page. You have a link to it. So
yes, that's right. That's right.
Well,
it was a lot of fun to make.
This has been so much fun getting to know you better and hearing about your quilt making.
Thank you. It's been nice talking to you.
No, just one more quick thing. Do you still travel to teach, or is it mostly just now your books?
A little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Okay. So
I don't think hand quilting is quite as popular as machine quilting. But yes, I'm still out there occasionally.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Nice talking to you.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Visit us at allpeoplequilt.com, and you can visit me at patsloan.com. Sign up for my newsletter. Sign up for American Patchwork's newsletter. And if you're out and about where I'm traveling, I'd love to meet you. So I hope you come and visit me and say hello. And we're all on the internet, on Facebook. We have blogs and our websites. And so you can come and share what you're doing with the patterns from the magazines and share what you're doing with my patterns. If you have any questions or guest ideas, send me a note.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.